Welcome to the SAIC Audio Teleconferencing Center. Please enter your passcode followed by...
For operator assistance during business hours, press star zero on your phone.
Good morning, all. Well, I'm early. Testing. Testing. Testing.
Hello, this is Victoria Carrington.
Hello, Victoria. How are you? Dennis Jennings calling.
Hello, Dennis. Is there anyone else on the line here?
You were there and I just rang you, so no, I think the answer is no. Are you here for Jonathan?
Actually, what I'll be announcing when the call, yes, I am actually, when the call starts, I went off the line, but the IPC voted yesterday to have me step in for him until after the, step in agency rep until after the vote. Or until if he decides to actually decline the nomination, then obviously he'd come back. But.
Right.
This is the Berkman Center. We've got you guys online.
Hi.
Is it Ben?
This is John. Little Bank.
Hello, John. How are you?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Very well indeed. Thank you.
So I will lead you to it, but I just wanted to let you know that you are webcasting.
Okay. I didn't catch your second name.
Will Banks, WILBANKS.
Refer to you properly. So Ben's not going to join us.
No, he's not.
So.
He's got class on Thursday morning, so I'll be running your webcast to the when you have Monday's day.
Okay. John, thank you very much.
Take care.
Thank you. Anybody else join us?
If not.
Yeah. I've just fired off some email messages.
Okay.
But they're not very not very earth shaking. I just tried last night to put some strawman stuff on the budget and on the schedule
mm-hmm.
in front of us so that we might have something a little more concrete to discuss.
Well, I guess my confession here has to be that the past, Lonnie Johnson just got back in town today, but the past few days I've been so tied up in litigation I just have not really had a chance to review too much of what's been going on electronically. And I think I'll just be very quiet observer today.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, bonjour, Elisabeth Partner online.
Bonjour, Elisabeth, how are you? Getting clear?
Bonjour, Denis. Probably like you, tired.
Oh, yes. It seems only yesterday that we had the last names council teleconference. This is getting like hard work.
Exactly. It seems that it was yesterday.
We have Victoria Carrington online. And Victoria, you're the ad hoc interim step-in, or whatever the appropriate formal phrase is.
That sounds
hello there.
Hello, this is Patricio.
Hello, Patricio. How are you? Patricio, you have an echo on the line. Try and call it again.
Okay.
Thank you. Anybody else join? Hello.
Hello.
Is that Elizabeth?
I'm still here, but somebody else joined.
YJ, how are you?
I'm fine.
You're safe and sound. You got home?
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Good, because we could hear you sort of scratching in the distance.
Yeah, actually,
I kind of tried to
listen
to
the audio, but I found that it must be very difficult for you to understand. It wasn't the best thing to do.
It was, I'm afraid. It was.
Yeah.
Anyway, So have you had the chance to catch up on the email?
Oh yeah, I tried to. But actually, there are a lot of things happening in the last thing to council, especially about the election process.
Yes.
Which I'm very familiar with me still.
Yes. Well, we'll get Elizabeth and Andrew to go through it, and hopefully it'll be clear we can all agree on it.
There is.
Yes, hello?
This is Patricia again. Is the line better now?
That's fine, Patricia. Sure. There's no answer now. That's great. Thank you. Okay, doing that.
Good morning, Ken.
Good morning, Ken. How are you?
Fine, Ken.
Good afternoon. You've got a very crackly line there, Ken. Do you want to call in again?
No, I know what the problem is. I had myself on the phone. I'll take myself off the headphone and just listen in directly.
Okay, thank you. Somebody else joined us?
Caroline,
how are you?
Hey.
Good. Let me go to my notebook to see what we've got here. We have myself, Patricio, Elizabeth, who else? Have we got YJ?
Yeah, hi, it's John England joining you.
Jan, John?
John England.
John England, how are you?
Good.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, this is Teresa Feinhardt.
Hello, Teresa. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Very good. We've got Caroline on the line as well, haven't we?
Yep.
Yeah, and we've got Victoria Carrington. Victoria, do you want to describe your situation?
Okay, basically the IPC had a meeting yesterday at which it was decided that I'll step in for Jonathan as, I guess, what was your terminology, Dennis? Ad hoc interim step in until such time as Jonathan either decides to decline his nomination to the ICANN board or accept if the elections are over. So.
Okay, great. So let's just...
Let me go to Peter.
Hello, Amadeo. How are you?
Hey, just so Javier's going to be about 5 minutes late, I think.
Okay. Okay, well, it takes us a few minutes to get going anyway, so that's not a problem, Teresa. I have, going through the list I have in front of me, myself, Patricio, Nigel, I don't think is here yet, John England and Teresa from the business constituency, and Javier will join us in 5 minutes. We're still waiting for Don Talage, I believe. And from the ISPs, Have we anybody from the ISP? Yes? No. Non-commercial, we fly J. Raoul and Catherine, are they there yet? And registrars is Amadeo and Ken. We're still waiting for Richard. And in the IP, we Victoria for Jonathan, Caroline, and we're waiting for Ted Shapiro. Also on the line is John Wilbanks, who's doing from the Edelman, from the Edelman Center, the Bertman Center.
you were right, that's the Edelman Center.
Sorry about that, John, if you're listening, who's doing the webcasting.
I heard they want to change the name from Harvard to Edelman. Right. Edelman University.
Edelman University, yes. Okay. So you may have got a few emails from me. I was working late last night trying to catch up, and I tried to put a couple of format emails to everybody to kick off the discussion on the budget and on the schedule. Somebody joined us? So, what natural disasters have we got around the world at the moment while we're waiting for people to join us?
No hurricanes this week.
Yeah. A natural disaster here in Barcelona. The locusts have started.
The warming. The locusts?
Yeah, the law courses, I mean, I started again my job at the university, so...
Oh, the law courses, you know. I thought you said locusts, you mean locusts.
No, law courses.
Yeah. We were thinking you had a plague of locusts in Barcelona, right?
No. Just playing with my accent.
Sorry about that, Amadeo.
Oh, Dennis, we've got, I'm sitting here on the San Andreas Fault, so I'm worried about an earthquake, so don't jinx it.
Okay, I'll try not to invite things. But I can.
Yeah.
What time is it there, Ken?
9:00 U.S. So Don should be floating in. I'm sure he'll be on the call soon. Dennis, this is Richard Lindsay Denny from Japan.
Well, hi, Richard, in Japan, Richard. It must be...
It's 10 at night. 10 at night.
So we'll get you settled with another meeting tomorrow, Friday night, huh?
So who is feeling the most pain on the telephone call this morning based on the time zone?
I think with respect to Richard, who's done the 10 o'clock at night, maybe we could offer to give him a morning opportunity at some time.
Yeah. He's a world of my lectures.
It must go to my country. It is lunchtime.
I would like to let the Names Council know that tomorrow the registrar constituency is having a teleconference with ICANN staff to review the agreement the ICANN NSI DOC thing. And what we're going to be doing is I will have Werner Schnaub, who is the secretary at PRCOR, will be attending that Names Conference, and it's taking minutes of the conference. I will ask Werner to forward the minutes out to the Names Council because I think the topics that we'll be talking about will be broad enough, and I'm sure there's enough interest in the Names Council to get a better elaboration on this recent contract. So,
very good.
Yeah, thank you, Ken. That would be helpful.
Yeah.
Dennis, in terms of, I know Javier's not here yet, but
Hello, Javier. How are you?
Oh, you are. Good morning.
You're a bit faint there, Javier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay.
And, how do you know that Working Group C, at least I made a request and have gotten some support and some staffing for extending the deadline for preparing interim proposals? And I know that's not on the agenda and always has an issue, but if we could add it on so we could give Jonathan Weinberg some guidance.
Okay. Let me just light my agenda here.
Dennis.
Yeah,
I have a small issue for other business at the end of the meeting. So you put me on the list if we never get there, okay?
Okay.
It's regarding the constituency mailing list, but at the end, other business.
Okay. You mean all the constituency mailing lists?
Yes, I have a question regarding that.
Okay.
There is one thing that I apologize because I haven't seen the agenda, but I would like someone in and with deference to the cultural things here, the culture here, I would appreciate it if someone would explain the voting process in clear, very full English to me, even at this point in time. There have been an abundance of just, you know, a bullet point type of a deal, you know. First vote, here's what happens. If there's more than this, you know, rather than, it's just gotten so convoluted that, frankly, it's so confusing. I just figure I'm going to vote at some point in time. I'll find out.
Yes, how Ken. And the system is very simple. The explanations were confusing.
Okay. What I'm asking for then is a simple explanation of what I believe is a relatively simple system. I just don't understand.
We get, it's high on our agenda. We get understood that to go through that. And Andrew, if he's here. Now, has anybody else joined us? We were waiting for Don Talage, Antonio Harris, Hirofumi Hata, Michael Schneider, Raul Echeverria, Catherine Kleiman, and Ted Shapiro. Have they joined us?
It's me, Jeff.
Pardon?
Nigel.
Oh, hey, sir.
I beg your pardon. Yes, I miss Nigel. Well,
we're... Can you see the board?
I guess we're 10 minutes into the call, Dennis, and I'm... I have enough people to go ahead and conduct this.
I think so. I think we've waited a reasonable amount of time. The first item on the agenda is the discussion and adoption of the agenda. Has everyone got the agenda in front of them, or do you want me to run through it?
I believe Elizabeth posted the agenda this morning.
Yes. 2 hours ago, exactly.
I haven't seen it yet, unfortunately, although I hate to have you run through the whole thing, Dennis.
Well, let me run through it quickly. Adoption of the agenda, minutes and matters arising, schedule of the meetings in LA, first major topic. Second major topic, election of the ICANN board members, summary of procedures. Item 5, ICANN bylaw amendments, comments by Andrew McLaughlin as he is here. Item 6, the budget plan, business plan and budget of the DNSO. Item 7, the meeting procedures and the request for cooperation or support from the Berkman Center. Item 8, Amadeo's motion on warehousing, which I do you still want that on, Amadeo? I thought we were going to deal with that by email.
Yes, indeed. The only thing I said is that we will discuss that as soon as we get some closure on the board.
Okay.
It depends whether we close that and we have time, but probably it will be dealt by email from tomorrow if we close that issue.
Okay, thank you. And added on by Teresa, the deadline for Working Group C report, and added on by Amadeo, an item off the constituency mailing list. Is that you, Amadeo, or is that somebody else?
Yeah, that was me.
Okay, so that's
it. And there were 3 voices in the mailing list asking to put elections first.
Yes, and I think that's, I personally think that's reasonable. Is there any objection to taking the elections clarification first?
No, I think that would be a good idea because that is not something that necessarily
Okay, so with that modification, can I adopt that agenda?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Now, minutes and matters arising. Elizabeth today very kindly, because I know she's been incredibly busy, posted a brief summary. But in essence, for those who haven't seen it, we spent most of our time discussing the election in the last Names Council. Elizabeth, do you want to add any comments on the minutes?
I apologize to send it very late. I apologize also not to provide a summary about constituency situation. So probably the only thing I would like to remind is that we have few constituencies with 90 days waivers. That's it.
Okay. Maybe could you put out a note on that just for the record?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Any matters arising that anybody wants to raise that aren't already on our agenda? Okay. Did everybody hear that? YJ, did you hear that question?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Richard?
Richard, that's me.
Okay, Grant, just occasionally check in case people don't hear properly.
Well, in order to reach the Asian group, you may have to stick your head out the window and yell a little louder, but...
I see. Well, that's perhaps something we should put on our agenda under any other business, which is alternative times for teleconferences that are a little fairer to people not in Europe, and we'll talk about that later. Okay, that deals with item 2 minutes and matters arising. We're now 5 minutes ahead of Elizabeth's schedule. So the next major item is the election of ICANN board members and the summary of the procedure. I think it would be best, if no one has any objection, to ask Elizabeth to step through it very carefully, with perhaps additional comments from Andrew if he's joined us, or from Amadeo. Is that all right with everybody? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Elizabeth, could you step us through sort of one step at a time?
I will try, Dennis. I will appreciate a lot your help as well as Amadeo's help, probably.
Would you prefer if I did it and you comment?
I'm sorry?
Would you prefer if I step through my understanding of the procedure and you comment, or would you prefer to do it?
I may start with my understanding, with what I posted to the website, and then you will certainly be able to add or clarify. We accepted convention seal voting in rounds as presented by Andrew McLaughlin, and we are going to have 3 main rounds and 1 preliminary round. The preliminary one is to eliminate from the initial list all candidates with no or ultra-marginal support, which means those which will receive 1 or 0 or 1 or 2 votes. I will just remind that every member of Names Council will cast 3 votes, which means 57 total, and we are going to have, I don't know exactly how many nominees, and the preliminary round goal is just to eliminate those who will not get at least 3 votes. Then we will elect in 3 different rounds 3 different candidates. The first one for 3 years, the second one for 2 years, and the third one for 1 year. Each round is absolutely similar. The first one is the most difficult, probably, because we have all possible choices. And once we elect the first, we will eliminate the corresponding geographic region, and the second and third will go later on. I think that's all. We decided that we will vote during teleconferences to be sure that we will get on time every vote, which means that those of you who will be able to send email during telecon will vote with email, but those who will not be able to send email will be able to call me on another telephone number, and I will just take your vote. And the reason was to get as much votes as possible.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
I have one comment to add, if I may step in.
Yes, please.
I think that the real confusion was between the real elections, as Elizabeth described it, and this preliminary round with 3 votes instead of 1. The reason why we have the convention style with 1 vote each member to elect only 1 seat, I think it's clear. But some people got confused about the meaning of the preliminary round. There are 3 reasons why I propose that. One is to allow us to poll the relative value of each candidate, not only our preferred candidate, but our preferred candidates in plural. So we have a better knowledge of what the other members think, and we can better use the time during the real elections. The second one was indeed to eliminate all those with zero support within the names council. And the third one, in my mind, was simply we test the system. In Friday 8, the nomination period ends. In 11th of October, that's Monday, the real election starts. So I just propose to use the weekend and, you know, part of the Monday to test the system. Each member, among them probably some new names council members for at least three constituencies we're electing right now, would have the chance, you know, to go through that and have time to understand. In the meanwhile, they, we run just a polling, not the real elections, just a polling among, you know, ourselves. And then on Monday, we start the real elections indeed with somehow different rules. We cannot vote three times to elect one person.
I mean, I thought I understood it until I just got your explanation. Now I'm confused again.
Can I just
ask a series of very simple questions that will require generally one or two word answers?
Okay. Can I conceive it to be that I answered them in the first instance on this? Amadeo and Elizabeth Schell, just in the process.
That's fine, and I apologize. Please be patient with my ignorance. Okay. The first round will consist of each member of the Names Council casting three votes, correct or incorrect?
That is correct.
Okay. The Names Council member will be able to cast three votes for any candidate regardless of the global, regardless of where they may be located globally?
Partially correct. They will be able to cast three votes for three different candidates, is my understanding, and irrespective of geographical diversity.
Yes. Okay, that's what I wanted to know. So, hypothetically,
if you just check that the understanding is correct.
Yes.
If what I said is correct, then I have three votes. I can't give three votes to one candidate, or can I?
No. It's written in the form that cannot be cumulative for three different candidates.
Fine. Because that's very clear. Then I have three votes, and I must vote for three candidates.
Right. One regardless vote. Of where they may be located, you could vote for three candidates, all of whom may be in Asia, Europe, or wherever. But at this point in time, we're trying to really, the purpose of the first round is to determine relative support and materiality and a candidate's materiality there.
Yes, that's my understanding. In other words, level of support. Okay.
That's correct. Okay, I'm satisfied now that I understand. All right, question number four. Will all three rounds be in effect simultaneous? In other words, we will do the first round and complete it and then move to the second round, or will there be some sort of a time gap, either in hours, days, whatever, between round one and round two and three?
Well, let's call it election one, election two, and election three.
Good.
There will be at least 24 hours between each election for each board member.
So we can plan on an effect. All right, that's the next question.
Hold on. But rounds within election will continue one after the other. That's my understanding.
Okay. The next question is, each election will be done in conjunction with each round election will be done in conjunction with a teleconference.
Correct.
Okay. So hypothetically, we have a situation where once the elections start, we could have a series of at least three teleconferences, one teleconference for each election. At that time, members of the Name Council will be given the option of either voting by email during the teleconference, or will be provided by Elizabeth a confidential phone number which they can use to cast their votes by phone with Elizabeth, correct?
Correct.
Right. Next question. All members' votes are confidential in terms of the results. In other words, are we posting the results by total, or are we going to announce who voted for who?
Up here to me.
Okay. That's unclear to me, too. And that if that is the case, if it is unclear, that would imply to me that at this point in time, that decision has not been taken. And if so, then...
Wait, may I step in? Perhaps I was wrong, but I understood that we agreed to publish all the votings after all the elections. So they are confidential during the elections, but all of them will be published by the Secretariat, explaining to be clear who voted for who. This was my understanding.
That was my
last teleconference.
Okay.
I also.
And this is John. I think we should sort of post all the relevant information associated with who voted for whom and what the vote tallies were.
So just to recap then for Ken, every single vote for every candidate will be open to the public glare of scrutiny after the election.
Okay.
So if you didn't vote for me, everybody will know it, Ken.
Okay, fine. Well, you're not even running.
You're not running, Dennis. I know. That's why I chose the
right
example.
Oh, you can't change your mind, Dennis.
No.
Now,
that was a joke. Sorry, everybody.
Okay, now let me ask you a question, and this may not be a yes or no question. And if so, please just tell me you want to defer this. Things have crystallized very quickly. Will a member be able to abstain from voting as opposed to not casting a vote? And there is a difference. I'm concerned that there will be, if there is a minimum requirement in order to put somebody on the board, is the determination of the minimum requirement based on the number of votes cast or the number of potential votes that could have been cast? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. And the bylaws say that the must have the support of a majority of the Names Council, which I would conclude in the current circumstances means 10 votes or more.
You are correct. So abstention counts as lack of support, as no voting. We need at least 10 affirmative votes for one candidate to be elected.
Okay. Now, the next question, and I'm just kind of going through this. Let us take the second round. We have called out those candidates that do have not any support.
Ben, just say second election, please, for
okay.
Qualification.
Okay, the second election. Amadeo, you're somebody's voice. In the second election, candidate A from Latin America receives 10 votes. Candidate Z from North America receives 8 votes, and all of the other candidates are less than that. It would be my understanding that candidate A would be elected to the Names Council at that point in time, and candidate A's area of the world would then be exempt with respect to the future elections. It is not my understanding that because candidate A received 10 votes in the first, in the second election, that candidate A would automatically be given the 3-year term, but rather the basis for determining the 3-year term would be that candidate who is elected with the largest number of votes. Am I?
Hmm.
I
thought it was first.
No, at the moment, it is explicitly the first election is for the 3-year board member. That's the way it's written at the moment.
Do you know why? Ken, probably the candidate in the third election will always get more votes because we will have much less opponents, as many races have already been eliminated with probably lots of candidates. Okay.
Well, now what happens if you get in the first election? When I say the first election, we'll call it the second election. That's where I get confused. After we've called the people out, and we're now at a point where we're voting for the board members. In the first election vote for the board members, we have a total of 57 votes that could be cast.
No.
19.
Now that's one. Let me clarify that because this is where there is confusion. In the preliminary poll, each Names Council member has 3 votes, giving 57 votes in total. But after the preliminary poll, when we get into the election proper, each Names Council member has 1 vote, total 19 votes.
So hypothetically, once we get through the preliminary round, we could end up with 6-10 people who all have received enough votes to get into the next round. Is that not correct?
Into the next round of the first election. Yeah,
that's correct. Okay, now we have 19 people casting votes for 10 candidates. We could be here for a long time before we find one candidate that gets 10 votes. But I understand what you're saying. We just may have a whole series of rounds within this each election session until we finally find consensus of one person to receive more than 10 votes.
Well, not too common, Ken. That's one of the real reasons of the cleverness of Andrew Hamadeus for the preliminary round. So it gives us an indication of the aggregate preference of the names council before we start the election.
Okay.
That should help. But you're right, we may have round after round after round, and after presumably about 2 hours of this, we will stop and for 24 hours, and there will be, I've no doubt, consultation among the names council members and trading and discussions, and that's why it's called a convention election.
Okay. All right, that's what I needed to know.
Sorry, Ken, I just want clarification. This is also why 2 days are scheduled for the first and second election. We hope to use only one, but 2 days are just reserved for this election.
Okay.
We're only one in the third, because probably only few candidates will be running for the third one.
Okay, now let's take, I'm sorry, but there are some ancillary questions that I think are really significant. Because of the fact that we are looking at a process that involves numerous teleconferences at this point in time, and it could put significant time demands on someone, does someone have the authority to give their proxy vote to someone else to use? In other words, suppose that somebody's wife is having a baby here, you know, does that mean that they no longer have a vote, or their constituency, hypothetically, could be deprived of the opportunity of voting because this guy or this person's indisposed for perfectly legitimate reasons?
How is that a question?
Yeah, that's a very good question. Can we put that aside and come back to that?
Fine. I didn't mean to get an answer on every one, but to me that is a very, very significant question. And the last question I'll ask, and I know the other people have, I hope I'm not tying up everybody. The last question I will ask is that it is my understanding that the results will not be published until all of the elections are completed. Is that correct? I would be concerned, Dennis, of a ripple effect, a bandwagon effect, we would call it in the U.S., if we publish the results of each one of the elections after each election. In other words, I don't think that it's necessarily a good idea to publish, for instance, who voted for who in the round where we're culling people out.
You mean the individual voting or just
individual
voting? Someone has been elected.
No,
individual vote is 2 years until the end, but I think that we are somehow forced to announce someone has been elected.
No, I was only talking about disclosing individual voting information.
No, individuals, it will be only at the end of all process.
Okay, thank you. That's all. And I thank you very much for letting me ask those questions.
That was very helpful, Ken. Now, let me just pick up that last one, because in each election there will be consultation of the constituencies, probably, we need to have a confidentiality clause in the process by which the named council members agree not to disclose the individual votes, but only the aggregate results between elections, to address the detail of your point, Ken.
To me, I think that's a very good idea. I do not want to read who voted for who on a domain policy list, if you understand what I'm saying.
Exactly.
Richard, also, I think part of what Ken is also asking about is that we don't need to see a list of every candidate and actual votes they received just to know that this candidate was selected. And if, for example, when we're still in the multiple round section, that this candidate was deflected because they had the least number of votes.
Yes. Correct.
May I add something?
Please,
yes. Richard, you, Amadeu, and I don't remember who else, wrote to the list that you consider that teleconferences during voting time should be webcast. We may have some difficulties with that. If, for instance, I have somebody, not with email, but only with telephone, it will be necessary for me in the same office to tell to that person that we have A, B, C on the list.
Correct. I think Elizabeth has raised a very important point. That is that I don't believe that it's practical to webcast, because there will be discussions in the conference between each round, which may be revealing as to who's voting. And I think that the actual telephone conference, which also accompanies the votes, should not be webcast because of the judge essentially defining the details of the voting should not be published until the vote is closed.
Exactly. It is my request and my understanding.
Would anybody have an objection to that?
No, and if you need a formal motion on it, I'll move for it.
I have a personal objection. It's not that I disagree, but I'm not completely sure this solution is completely consistent with our required policy of openness and transparency.
Well, we've already breached that in the sense that we said that we won't disclose the details disclosed until the end, and to make that a solid and reasonable statement, I don't see how we can also webcast these voting telephone conferences.
Yeah, the one I'm related to you, sorry, is that the person that Raul raised about the cost of attending 3, maximum 5 teleconferences a week, that was an affordable to him. If that was webcasted, he was simply able to follow the discussion, to use email to participate in the discussion and voting. If it's not webcasted, indeed everybody is supposed to really call in.
That's a good point. John Wilbank, are you there? I think we should pose this as a question to the Berkman Center. Maybe we could have a password-protected website so that only the Names Council members could actually track the webcast.
Yes, hello.
Hello, John.
Yes.
Would it be possible to have a private webcast during the telephone conferences where we're voting so that people don't have to be on a telephone to track what's going, but it's still private to the Names Council?
I believe that should be a relatively trivial matter, just a matter of switching the telephone cover.
Okay. So we have possibly a technical solution to achieve that, if that's what you want.
Yes.
Could I ask, now we've had a lot of discussion, could I just go around the table, so to speak, to see if anybody else has any questions? Starting with the top of my list, Patricio, do you have any questions?
No, everything is clear.
Has Nigel joined us? No. John England?
Yeah, actually, I do have a question, and this is, I think, a relatively straightforward question, but I want to make certain that I fully understand it. That is, you know, let's assume that we've gone through the 3-round process to elect a member of the ICANN board, and we're deadlocked in the 3rd round. No, we're not able to work it out so that someone receives a majority of the Names Council. Do we then start with a whole new series of rounds, so new candidates are put up, and we start with round one?
Let me attempt to address that, John. If we do become totally deadlocked and there is no ability in convention to get out of the deadlock, then the election will fail at that point.
And then we start all over with fresh candidates.
Well, supposing that this happens in election two, I don't think that we should invalidate the results of election one on that account.
I would have to agree with you totally there. I think if we get to the point where we may have elected 2 of the 3 candidates, but we can't find a consensus for the 3rd candidate, it would seem to me that what we need at that point in time is to call for nominations or renominations for the open seat left on the ICANN board. I do not think that you would invalidate all three candidates.
Yeah, I agree with that as well. So at that point, we would start over for that specific seat where we haven't been able to reach agreement.
And only with the regions that are not yet eliminated.
Absolutely, yes.
That's correct.
Javier, are you happy with this? You came up with the first proposal. Do you have any questions? Are you happy with this mechanism now? Javier?
Yes?
Have you any questions, and are you happy with this proposal?
Yes, I read it before the conference.
Yep. Excellent. Teresa? Teresa? Have we lost Teresa?
I think we've lost her.
Okay. John, is Dr. Lash joined us? Is Antonio?
Yes, Paris is here. I do have a comment. My concern is with the elimination of candidates round by round. If a candidate is eliminated on the first round, when we're actually in the voting proceedings, is he back on the table again for the second round, or is he gone for good? No, he's back. He's back on the table.
He's back on the table, providing that he is not in the same geographical section of the candidate who is just elected in the first round.
Okay, right. Okay, fine. I mean, that's essential, because otherwise you wouldn't get past the first round. People would be defending their candidates. Otherwise, he's off the table.
Well, the interesting aspect of this pre-election is that having elected one person from one region and then having a completely new election, it's likely that the voting pattern will be quite different in the light of the previous election or election.
Okay. Absolutely, yes. I agree. Yeah. Thank you for the clarification.
Any other questions, Antonio?
Just one thing. This here on the document, 19 voting names council members, 3 votes each. It doesn't say if the 3 votes are for 3 different people, or you can give the 3 votes to the same person. I assume it's for 3 different people.
Okay, now just for clarification, the 3 votes is only for the preliminary round.
I understand, yes.
Yeah. And it's for 3 different candidates, 1 vote each.
Okay, it doesn't specify that here, so I thought I'd ask.
Okay, Elizabeth, could you modify the procedure to make that clear?
Yes, I will. That as it is written, each member of the named council casts 3 votes for different nominees.
Thank you.
All right, thanks very much.
Okay. Has Hirofuma Hassel joined us?
Yes.
Hello, Hirofuma.
Yes.
Okay. Have you any questions?
Hello, Dennis?
Yes.
Yes, I'm Raul, I'm here.
Oh, Raul, you're here. You're there.
Yes.
Okay.
No question.
It's okay. Here. Okay, thank you, Raul. Has Michael Schneider joined us? Again, I got a bit confused, Raul. Has Hirofumi Hoffa joined us?
Yes.
Yes?
This is John again. May I ask another quick question?
Of course you may, yes.
When does the nomination period end for the ICANN board directors coming out of the DNSO?
I understand, Elizabeth, correct me if I'm wrong, that it's midnight on the 8th of October, wherever the latest midnight in the world is.
It is exactly 8 p.m., Central European time on the 8th of October.
Okay.
But thank you.
All right. There is something that I think we need to make sure that we understand. Is a nomination as defined in the rules an acceptance or a nomination? In other words, if a candidate has not accepted a proposed nomination by midnight, that candidate is not deemed to be nominated. Is that correct?
My understanding, that's Ken, isn't it? My understanding,
yes.
Ken, is that people must accept.
Okay, so in effect, a nomination is not legitimate or valid until the candidate accepts.
You need 10 support from members of the DNSO plus 3 acceptance.
Oh, and that must happen before the deadline, right?
Yes. Support. Denise.
Yes, who's that?
Could you repeat the question, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. The question was, what are the rules for being a candidate? And the rules are, you must be nominated by at least 10 people on the General Assembly or constituency list in the mechanism described by Elizabeth on the website, and the candidate must have accepted the nomination before 8 p.m. Central European Time on October the 8th, 1999.
Okay. I have a comment to Tony Harris here.
Yes, Tony.
On this subject, it doesn't seem too logical that they should publish people who've been nominated, and a whole lot of people would, you know, jump on and support them before that candidate has accepted the nomination. It doesn't seem too logical.
I agree with you.
Hmm?
Yeah, but perhaps, I mean, this is the case now. People just started nominating without consulting the nominee, and I'm not completely sure we can change now for the last week.
Okay,
it's just a comment.
Yeah, there's no control over it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Victoria, can I just ask a quick question?
Who's that,
Caroline?
Victoria.
Oh, Victoria, thank you, Bart. Yes, Victoria.
Quick question. I've been asked, does the person who nominated a nominee count as a supporter? So do you need 10 more people plus the nominator, or is it 10 total?
10 total is my understanding.
Yes, 10 total.
10 total. Okay, thank you.
Okay. Going through my list, YJ, do you have any questions?
Yeah, I guess I understand that. I mean, is it possible for you guys to, like, just make sure if I am attending? Like, so if I am attending an election, like, how will I kind of check three votes to three different nominees being filling the registration?
That's correct.
So if we have, like, five nominees left, so, like, I mean, for example, for each round, the person who has the most, like, votes will get elected with the list of 10, more than 10 votes.
Yes.
And then, like, in the second round, so, like, I mean, except the reason, like, who has got the first election, will all do the same thing.
Yes.
Like, with, like, more than 10 votes, too.
That's correct.
Oh, I see.
Okay, good. Now, Elizabeth, you'll circulate again the updated explanation, will you?
Yes, I will.
Thank you very much. Raul, have you any questions? Raul? Has Catherine joined us?
Yes, I have.
Hi, Catherine. Welcome.
Hello. I think Raul's talking to someone in the background.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I had a question about the rounds of voting. Is it three rounds per candidate that per board member per seat that we're likely to go through? So a total of about nine rounds of voting?
Well, I suspect actually that the first election will have as many as six or seven rounds before somebody gets 10 votes.
And that's just for the first board seat?
That's for the first board seat. But then that person, of course, is elected, and all the other citizens of that region are eliminated. Everybody goes back in. But I think that having gone through this, you know, extended process, the next election will move faster. But there is a possibility that we will get deadlocked.
I'm just trying to figure out how much time will be allowed per round of voting.
That's a good question. My view is that we will try and do a number of rounds in a two-hour telephone conference and then break off for 24 hours.
Okay. This won't be online, it'll be voice.
Well, each round will be, but each round will be conducted during the telephone conference.
Yeah. Okay, the proxy is given if you can't make that particular teleconference.
We've put aside the proxy issue. We'll come back to that, Jeff. Yeah, that's a very important question that I can't remember who raised it. Tony, I think, raised it. Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think we'll be scheduling teleconferences at very short notice for some of the later rounds.
The idea, Elizabeth, I think, is that we will have five or seven telephone conference pre-scheduled.
We have five teleconference pre-scheduled. And we expected to do it within that five.
Okay, so that's 4 hours for the allowed for the first election, 4 hours for the second election, and 2 hours for the third election.
Exactly, Dennis. I have one question. Who was the lady speaking just before? I didn't recognize the voice.
Victoria.
Victoria. I'm sorry, Victoria.
No problem.
Okay.
When are these teleconferences scheduled for? They're not precisely, but what days?
Starting on Monday, the...
October 11th.
11th, that's right.
Each day at the regular time.
Each day at the regular time, which the Europeans, of course, would like to be at the now time, because they just like to make everybody else uncomfortable. But they might, you know, the people who are, for whom it's early in the morning or late at night, might disagree with that, of course. But let's not debate that.
The times will be circulated?
Oh, yeah.
Actually, there's an email being sent with all these times. I've got it in front of me.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see that.
No. From Elizabeth.
Okay.
At the moment, Elizabeth, the time that you've chosen suits the Europeans. They're 1 o'clock Central European time in the afternoon. Is that right?
It is. I decided not to change anything for voting, so use our usual time.
Okay. So we'll come back to that. I'll come back to the proxy issue. Richard, have you any questions? Richard Lindsay?
I have one question and one comment. My question is mainly towards Elizabeth. And for the system, are we going to be using the vote bot system, and is it all going to be automated?
I am wondering. My problem is as follows. Michael Palash and his colleagues from California, they installed a vote bot system on DNSO.org. They just ended to install it. I do not have any practice. This is my problem. And I understand that if we use VoteBot system, I have to create a database with 19 voters, and then we may use it. So this is the first problem. It may be solved if I am fast enough to understand, but it is also in that time necessary to you to understand how to use it. My second option was to work exactly in a similar way to we used for Working Group A report, which means I would send to every of you a ballot, which will appear on your email screen as coming from vote number, and you have to reply to every vote like this, and then I may use script to calculate results. So it is the current situation.
Okay. This is Amadeo. I just propose that whoever are the named council members, because we participants are running elections, they use that weekend to furiously test all available technologies.
Yes.
I second.
my comment is related to that, and that I'm kind of assuming that we try and do this as automatically as possible. So that I was assuming that the actual phone conferences would be fairly, there wouldn't be actually the discussions of who is running or talking about candidates' merits or demerits. Rather saying we're going to vote now, okay, the vote bot system has now said that, you know, we have elected versus someone, or we have de-elected somebody.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, if it's feasible, I think for openness, it's better to actually have everything webcast. But if it's infeasible, then that's obviously may not be realistic. So
Richard, it's unproven at this stage.
Well, maybe we should give it a test run if we have things set up.
I think we should. We should also consider what scrutiny we need to make sure that it's not only about questions, which it will be, but that it seems to be about questions. If there is any, there may be hostile reaction to some of the results, and we don't want any querying of what we've done or querying of what Elizabeth does or whatever. So we need to think this through very carefully. But we don't have to do that today.
I agree 100%.
It is very, very important exactly to have, to be able to show all the log.
Yes, and I think you need to scrutinize a little bit for your own protection.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, agree.
Yeah, okay. Caroline, are you still here?
Can you put the speaker closer to the mic, please?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I beg your pardon. Caroline?
Yeah, I just want to make sure, 15 Central European time is what time in the Central U.S. time? Or at least East Coast time?
8 in the morning, New York.
It's 8 in New York time. Thank you.
No, 9 in New York.
9. It is 6 hours different. I believe that we have time changing the last week of October, so we are safe now.
Okay.
It's always 6 hours between Washington and Paris.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Victoria, any questions?
No, I'm fine, thanks.
This is, I'm looking for Citizen Andrew. I just wanted to call. I apologize for being late. Oh, welcome, Andrew. Thank you. Do you have any questions? About the election process, or did you catch all of any of our discussion?
I have not. I've been, I had to be up on Capitol Hill this morning, briefing various investor people, so I've not been paying attention to the call. Sorry.
Oh, name dropping.
Mm. Yeah, I wish.
I wish there were a good thing to say. Okay.
Dennis, I have still another issue, because somehow I introduced it a small detail, but really, I wanted that, I put that. I'm not totally sure everybody understands the consequences of that. And I think that we should better discuss that now. It's very simple. As I said, the polling round, the preliminary round we played during the weekend with three votes has many effects. Learning the system, just showing the relative support that is pretty clear. But then, I also said, eliminating all those candidates without any support. And I would like that everybody understands the consequences of that before we all say we all agree. It means that if, for instance, let's assume that Edmundo Valenti and Alex Bizanti got no support in the first round, or only one vote, so only one people cast only one of the three votes for one of them, and this is the same for me, and the same for Peter David Rush, then we go into the real elections with no representatives from one, two, or three regions. And in my version, it was that someone that has no or really ultra marginal support in the general preliminary round when everybody casts three votes should not be then reinstated for regional diversity. In my mind, if a candidate is deemed to be a bad candidate, we don't have a good candidate, we should not be forced to elect someone against the will of the next council because he is the only one to run it for one, two, or three regions. But I would like knowing whether everybody understands that.
If I may comment, Amadeo, I mean, I see the argument, but I'm just a little uncomfortable about using a polling round to eliminate, because the point of the polling round is sort of to expose our aggregate thinking, and it may be that the thinking would change as a result. I would like to suggest that in the first real election, after the first round, anybody with zero votes gets eliminated. It's probably not much difference, but I think it will be seen to be fairer.
If I may explain the difference, I think it's really different. If we have three votes each, we can express larger views. If you have only one vote in the first real election, we will go for our stronger candidate relative to constituency interest or regional interest. And perhaps someone who is the second choice for each and everyone would be eliminated. So this is why we propose to do that where we have three votes, we can express wider views. I only want to know whether people is happy with using the first preliminary round also to eliminate. I am, but this has some implications. If we are not happy, we simply reinstate all candidates for each round, and that's it. But I wouldn't like having problems later. This is an scholastic case. We know that all candidates from all, I mean, we will not eliminate one, two, or three regions. With the current candidates, we know that all of them will have some support, more than two votes, right? But we should just think about it before start running.
anybody want to comment on that?
I have a comment.
Yes,
Patricio. I agree with Amadeo that it's the first polling ground that should be used to eliminate candidates, not the election round, because in the election you want to be efficient and try to reach consensus as fast as possible, and that may mean sacrificing your second best candidate and giving you for the next round. I have a question associated with the polling ground. That will not happen on the Monday, right? It's going to happen before that?
I think that now this can also last for all Saturday, all Sunday, and it's running until half an hour prior to the first teleconference on Monday. So you still have some working hours in some places, not in others. Sorry about that.
That's unacceptable to me. Are you happy with that, Patricio?
Yep.
Anybody else want to express a view on this? The question is the elimination of a candidate as part of the polling round, the preliminary round.
This is Kathy. I'm not sure that's such a good idea. I would need to think about people who get zero votes. I think I may agree with you on that, Dennis. But just because the polling round is three votes, so everyone can cast a vote for the person from each region, perhaps, that from three different regions, that's their first choice. Just because I'm not sure, just because someone doesn't get votes in the polling round, doesn't mean they might not get votes later on. I don't think we should be eliminating them here. The polling round is just kind of initial thoughts. Everyone who's running will have some significant support. I think we have to give them their opportunity in the election round to see if they can pull that together and get elected.
Okay, thank you.
Caroline, I guess I would kind of agree to say, well, what harm is it in leading them in? I mean, if they truly have no support, then perhaps that will show through in the first election. It's more
open. It only means having one more round for each election, in the sense that we will have all these people with zero votes being eliminated. And this will mean using one more round each election for people that we know from the very beginning they have no support within the next council.
Yes,
and, you know, this is teleconference time, yeah?
I know that, Amadeo, and I do agree with you, but because if we eliminate on the polling round, there is no reinstating candidates, whereas if we eliminate on the first election, we reinstate candidates for the second election, and so on.
Oh, indeed, that's a difference. Indeed.
That's exactly the difference. I think that would be seen to discriminate between some candidates, which I think might open us to criticism. I don't think it will affect the election, but I think just to be sure, as they say.
Yeah, but then, Molly, I wanted, I said that this is why I raised the question, because I am sure about my choices, but I'm not completely sure I was able to explain the consequences to everybody. My only point is, I wouldn't like a situation where we are forced to elect someone that we really believe is not a good candidate, simply because we're run out of candidates for a given region. Just remember, we all can abstain in that case, right?
Exactly.
If we abstain, he's not elected.
Exactly, Amadeo, exactly.
That would be my alternative to meet Kathy's concerns then. And perhaps I would withdraw my suggestion. I repeat, it was only my suggestion, so it's easy to withdraw.
So, Elizabeth, I think Amadeo is suggesting you would withdraw the elimination part of the preliminary round. But making a very important clarification, that is that people can abstain.
Is it complete elimination of the preliminary round, or
no.
In the preliminary round we are going to eliminate all those nominees without any support?
Elizabeth, I would draw my suggestion to eliminate. We eliminate nobody, which means that all accepted nominees will stop the first election.
Okay.
And then, secondly, the second and the third, if they don't belong to the relative region of the candidate being elected.
Yeah.
Okay. So, if it's a big modification, I will do it.
Yeah. Just remember that we are going for, clearly, one round more for each election, okay? So this means 5 minutes more of teleconference, probably, or perhaps 20 minutes, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's perhaps more.
Kathy, are you happy with that?
I am, and I think the General Assembly will be happier with that.
Okay, Caroline?
Yes, that sounds good.
Okay. Right. Have we actually reached consensus? Any dissenting voices on any point here?
There's still an open item, Dennis, that's the item I brought up about proxies.
Yes, I have this flag very firmly on my
card. All right.
Any other questions?
Yes, Dennis, this is John again, and I think, you know, this is relatively straightforward in its clarification, but my understanding is that anyone can abstain at any point on any round with the understanding that if you abstain, if enough people abstain, then you're not going to get the 10 affirmative votes to actually elect someone to the ICANN board during that final round.
John, that's a very important clarification that has arisen out of the discussion. Yes, people can abstain.
Thank you.
Dennis, this is Richard. I have one question.
Yes, Richard.
If we're going to do the polling first round with three votes, then it seems to me that there's some assumption that we will publish all the nominees and how many votes they receive. Is that correct?
This will be sent by the secretary to you at the beginning of the first teleconference.
Okay.
It will not be sent to the general public, and nothing will be sent to the website or being published until all the elections are completed.
Okay, so will we want to then take the archives and have them temporarily taken off the web for a while, or send the list?
Good point, yes.
Yes, I think so.
I think so.
So we should announce that in advance, though, just to make sure people don't say, oh, great, now they're closing everything to make it secret. So.
Yeah, because if you use a different list, mistakes will happen one after the other. People will be sending to different lists by mistake.
Yes, that's a very important point. So we take temporarily the posting of these to the archive.
Okay.
And so this election, the election is secret during the election, and it's published, the results are published after the election.
May I be a little bit pretty clear? Could I offer us that all those who are not members of the names council but are subscribed to the mailing list be also prevented from reading the list during the elections? Because I think there are many names who are subscribers who are not members of the Names Council.
Elizabeth, would you check into that?
I'm not sure I understand your question. More English.
No, I think that people like Andrew McLaughlin or Ben Engelman or Joe Sims or I don't know who else are subscribers to the Names Council.
Okay, so for election purpose, I will put them aside. I will take them off from the list just to be sure that only 19 members of the Names Council are on the list, just myself.
Okay, and you accept it. You're still because that's the problem. So I'm not sure about what I'm saying, but the problem is I don't know exactly who else is subscribed. So I don't know. I would prefer the Names Council.
I may tell you, it is only the Names Council, plus myself, plus Joe Sims, plus Mike Roberts. So I will put aside Joe Sims and Mike Roberts.
Okay, thank you. Elizabeth, would you give careful consideration to having a scrutineer as well, just for your own protection? I'm not suggesting for a moment that anything will go wrong, but just to protect us afterwards. And you might get a picture of an auditor from France or something like that to provide the process.
I appreciate that you suggested. I do not know practically how to do it, but I will try to figure out if it is absolutely necessary.
Yeah, we'll talk about it offline.
Okay, thank you.
Dennis, this is John again.
Yes, John.
Just out of curiosity, and we don't need to spend much time on this, but will the other supporting organizations have a similar format for electing their three board members?
We don't know.
We don't know.
Do you have any comments on that?
Can I maybe point out what I know?
Yeah.
As opposed to be following the others. The ASO doesn't exist yet. We're still in the process of working out the memorandum of understanding. And so I don't think there's much of anything to say there. With regard to the PSO, their election procedure is to take a simple majority vote on each seat one at a time. They collect the list of nominees, and then I think they'll probably do some variant on convention-style voting because the requirement is that each
seat has to be filled by a majority vote of all PSO members. There are 8 of them, so that requires 5 affirmative votes, and then they'll move on to the next seat, and then the 3rd seat.
Can I ask you a question, Andrew, please? I'm a little confused on a couple of issues. Number one is, you just indicated that one of the support organizations hasn't even been accredited or recognized yet, which means that between now and November, there's a high probability that they may not be in a position to place members on the board.
Not true. They were on schedule, and they're on schedule, and they will have their directors elected by November.
And they will be in compliance with the requirements for on the ICANN bylaws with respect to direct selection of directors as well.
Right. I mean, you can look at the ASO has been accepted. The structure for the ASO and the principles for it have been accepted. What's now happening is the regional internet registries and I are working to finalize a memorandum of understanding, which is more specific than the principles that were accepted. So if you want to see in general what it's going to look like, you can go onto the ICANN site, to the ASO page, and you'll see the MOU that the board approved. The proposal for an MOU that the board approved.
Then, the matter of fact, it's pretty simple. Well, ASO will have 3 members from 2 regions. That's it.
Amadeo, I think that we can take this offline. We're actually taking a lot of time, and this needs to focus on our DNSO. Sorry, don't mind. Sorry.
I agree, Dennis. Sorry for the digression there.
If you wouldn't mind, there is one issue that's still outstanding, and that's the proxy issue. Could I suggest that we talk? We don't have to solve this now. We've 2 weeks to solve this. Could I suggest that we make that our top priority email issue and address this at our next telephone conference? Because it's complicated. My view is that there should be proxies, and the only question is how we authenticate them. So we need to discuss that.
My view is we need them, but I want to make absolutely certain that Andrew, I can make certain that any proxy system, if we elect one, meets the requirements. We don't get anything invalidated, or at the last minute have to do a fire drill to make changes.
Andrew, have you some comments and advice for us?
That's an excellent point. I think it makes more sense for me to research it and be sure that I have a good answer before I speak on the turn.
If you wouldn't mind, this is an important one to us, as you can see, with the global election and 19 people. But we want to be careful and clear.
Good. Well, I'm here in Joe Simpson's office, and I'll make a note of it, and so we'll be able to get an authoritative lawyer to answer as quickly as we can.
Mr. Cassidy, elaborating on the proxy issue, just as 2 possible variations that I can think of. One is to assign a proxy to another named council member, such as mine, making YJ or Raul the proxy. The other is that in the non-commercial constituency, some of us have alternates that were elected. My alternate from North America is Randy Bush. And I'd like to be able to assign the proxy to Randy, who is available for calls when I'm not available, and that's the purpose of his election. So I'd like to raise both of those as possible proxy candidates.
I'll get you an answer on those. I think that I can answer this, your last one, pretty easily, which is that people who are not members of the Names Council cannot vote.
Well, if someone has been elected as an alternate to the Names Council by the constituency,
it doesn't exist, this figure.
Then that might be a desirable policy, Kathy, but I don't think that it's going to be allowable under the bylaws as they exist.
If you could check, I'd appreciate it.
I will do that.
Because we have at least 2 alternates in the non-commercial constituents.
Andrew, I have another question. Although the questions here are really right about general proxies, that it might happen that the proxy is not for all the elections, but even for a round within the election, because you have to leave for some hours, and you are in the middle of one of the 3 elections. So we would also need, if possible, a system that allows for some flexibility. So it's not a general proxy. I won't be able to attend during the whole week, but I won't be able to attend for certain rounds within one election.
Excuse me, Amadeo, I didn't understand you very well.
The way it was included here said, well, we need a system for proxies because Tommy Harris cannot attend and another member of the constituency should vote. Yeah, another named council representative should vote for him. But the question is only having an authorized proxy before the week starts because you won't be able to attend during the whole week. It might happen that you are there on Monday,
Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. But at the middle of the teleconference, you have to leave. Only at the middle of one given teleconference. What happens at that given time? Yeah. So we need a flexible system if we are to use Russia. A general comment, please try to attend all the time.
I'd like to have the discussion on the email because I think as we explore it, it will be quite complex. Just add to the complexity if there is a candidate from one of the members of the next class is a candidate, there is some sort of alternative substitute mechanism already in place. So there's quite a bit of complication here. I think we should discuss it on the mailing list. So if everybody, if there are no objections, can I suggest we move it to the mailing list and move on?
I agree, Denis. Well, if I may say something, but I definitely believe that we need a deadline for decision.
Okay. Well, yes. Another phone conference, I would suggest.
Which one?
Well, I think we have to have another one.
Denis. I would like to propose, strongly propose to give more importance to the email discussion. I believe it's more clear to see the positions written by email than discussed in the teleconference. I think the teleconference is very good only to confirm the resolutions or I suggest that you think about it.
Thank you. I think that's a very fair point. I think that when we're discussing complicated matters, they're very difficult to follow on a telephone conference. We need an email discussion first. So we need to have need a deadline, Elizabeth, I think 7 days from now. And we need a telephone conference.
Sorry, 7 days from now is somehow dangerous. We would be on the 7th of
October.
Perhaps it won't be material time
to
implement the proxy system over the weekend for some people.
You're absolutely right. We need time to put in place the proxies. It'll have to be Tuesday, I think.
I'm afraid so.
Because
Tuesday is fine to me.
Tuesday is okay.
And five?
Yeah, I would prefer Wednesday, but Tuesday but if for 1 hour, it could be at the conference. Okay, let's have a 1 hour telephone conference at the same time on Tuesday, the 5th of October, to deal with the proxy issue. And Elizabeth, maybe after this telephone conference, you could check with people. Could we also have Wednesday as an alternative? This is such an important topic that maybe we should have an alternate day and choose the best day for everybody, given that there are quite a few people not on this telephone conference.
Available for both.
I'm not available till 10 on Tuesday, Eastern Standard Time.
Okay.
Available for both.
I'm available at either hour, Tony Harris.
You're talking next week now, are you not?
Next week, yes.
Oh, boy. It has to be Tuesday.
All right.
Okay, after the Wednesday. If I can't make it Wednesday, I'll give my proxy for voting on this to someone.
For the second proxy, that's good.
And let's not make it too circular here. All right, 2 o'clock on Tuesday is, I think, what we're going for, folks.
What time?
Let's
say usual hour.
I'm sorry. I beg your pardon. 2 o'clock is my funny Irish English time. At the same time on Tuesday, same time. Yeah.
Okay, I'll be late on that call.
Just one question. We will discuss that through email, but perhaps we should also set the deadline at that day to see what happens with named council members who are simultaneously running for the next council and how the constituency will vote for those seats.
Andrew, do you want to clarify the set-in alternative mechanism for the named council vote? Yeah, the idea was to leave it as flexible as possible and to clarify that each constituency, consistent with its own rules, may appoint a named council member to take the place of another named council member who has accepted a nomination to be a candidate. And so beyond that, we would simply say that
that where there is an administrative committee, that seems like it should be an administrative committee decision. And where there is not, it seems to us that the three existing named council members should agree on a either an individual or a procedure to allow that to go forward.
Actually, from the same constituency, but also from the same region?
You have to meet the geographic diversity requirements, so it would have to be from one of the three regions which are not currently represented.
Thanks.
So, for example, Victoria, you're a step-in at the moment for Jonathan.
Yes, I was just going to clarify, did you just say that the step-in person has to be one of the other named council reps?
No. My understanding of the various constituency structures is that some constituencies have administrative committees which are broader than the three named council representatives.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to me that those constituencies ought to ensure that whatever, we just don't want there to be some kind of internal conflict with the constituency who the designated stand-in person is. So I just mean to say that where there is an existing administrative structure, that structure should pass off or sign off on the replacement. Where there is not an explicit structure, it seems like the appropriate people to make the decision are the three existing named council reps.
I see. That's great.
Just like whether a blank proxy would be an available mechanism to one of the other two named council representatives. Let's check that.
I will check that. I can give you a tentative answer on that, which is that you need to have a number of named council representatives equal to the number of votes you want to cast.
Okay.
So you ought to have a stand-in individual, and even if that person has to sign over a proxy, that may sound like a legal formality, but I think that under the bylaws, that's how it would have to go. I wouldn't take my answer as authoritative, though, until I had a chance to write a pass card. We have an attorney in Jones Day who specializes in corporate structure, and I'll ask him for his advice.
This is Ken Stumps. I need to ask a question in here. This is a high exposure, very critical area here. I think we need to have a process for covering these that cannot be challenged by someone who feels like they have been disenfranchised. So we're being very liberal about the administrative structure within a constituency. If there is an administrative structure within a constituency that makes a decision for a submission of an alternate, I think we need to have that effectively communicated well in advance, because I would hate to have a situation where we need to be challenged on the basis that someone who purportedly had authority to vote did not, in the eyes of many of the members of the constituency, have that authority. We don't need to have to revisit this thing again 6 months down the road as a result of some silly loss, you know.
Point taken. All right, folks, I think we have that issue dealt with. I apologize for the amount of time, but I think it was necessary. I'd like to move on then to our next major item, which is the schedule of the meetings in Los Angeles.
Whoa.
Who said whoa?
That was Amadeu.
Hold on now. There's a number of voices. Can I take a cue, please?
Patricio?
Patricio, yes. Who else? Ken Stuff. Ken?
Amadeu.
Raul? Okay, Patricio.
Yeah, just a quick comment because I will have to leave. But I want to support the idea that the main council should meet before the board. And perhaps there will be a need for a very short main council meeting afterwards. And I'm not even too sure about that. We can deal with any consequences of the board meeting by email. But our meeting should come before the board meeting. That's my point of view. Thank you, Bishop.
This is Ken Stubbs. I'd like to support the concept that the meeting for the Nates Council should be held during daytime hours, because principally for two reasons. Number one is, from a webcasting standpoint, any meeting that would be held in Los Angeles after the hour of, let's say, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon is taxing every single time zone with respect to the city to monitor it. Also, I feel, from a second standpoint, that
we would be fresher and have more options if we hold an afternoon meeting. I'm alluding yet to the fact that we will have new members on the Names Council, that we there's a high probability that the meeting could go slightly longer, and I'd rather start in the early afternoon and have to add an hour between 5 o'clock and 7 o'clock than to start at 7 o'clock at night and have to go to the wee hours of the morning. That's taxing everybody's physical stamina as well. A lot of people are going to be traveling through a lot of time zones to get to Los Angeles. Thanks, Dan. Abadou?
I want to say the same, so I won't repeat.
Thanks. Raul?
Killam Jones sent an interesting mail to us a few days ago. I agree with his suggestion to have a working groups and committee meetings in the morning on Tuesday, General Assembly in the afternoon before the ICANN meeting.
Okay. Let me try and summarize. I think I agree with everything that is said about having the Names Council meeting in the afternoon and in the daytime and so on. But the casualty will be the restricting the General Assembly and any working group time to a half day. Now, Raul, that's the point you're making, that we really need the working groups and the General Assembly throughout the day. Is that the point you're making?
Yes, in a half day in the morning, to working groups and committees, and a half day in the afternoon to the General Assembly.
And where the Names Council?
Excuse me?
And where the Names Council?
Good question.
This is the issue. The issue, I think, is quite simply that there are a number of people, and I would include myself, who think that the General Assembly should have working groups, time for the working groups, scheduled. And just trying to get this compromise is the issue we're dealing with. I think the Names Council is clear, though. Names Council in the afternoon of Tuesday.
Javier?
Yeah?
I'm chair of the working group. I think it's a working group. If they want to have a working group.
Javier, just a moment, there's a chainsaw or something in the background. Is that a phone?
No.
Okay, thank you.
The working group will decide by themselves if they want to meet at any time. I don't think it's up to the General Assembly or to the Names Council.
What is our situation?
I don't think it's up to the Names Council to tell them that they have to meet.
No, but we have to plan a schedule. The question is, you want to do you think that your working group wants to meet, and what about working group B and E? That's the question, yeah?
I just want to add that there needs to be a decision about scheduling because we're going to lose rooms.
Has not finished. Please let him finish.
Thank you. Which means that if the working group wants to meet, it's up to the working group to find time. We cannot schedule everything around people if we don't know if they want to meet or not. So I think that if anybody wants to organize a meeting, but we really have to schedule four meetings, which is
maybe
we seem to have for that is General Assembly in the morning, Names Council in the afternoon. I don't see any other choice.
It's Nigel Rollins.
Nigel, yes. Welcome.
Thank you.
The question is, what's the current situation? Do you think as chair of working group C that you want to meet, and what about working group D and E?
As chair of working group C, we are not going to meet in LA.
Yeah, and what about the working groups? Could be that late session as probably we don't have that absolutely to be webcasted, that is starting at 7 or something like that?
What about Teresa? What about working group D? Would you value a slot during the week for a working group D meeting?
Yes, actually I would, and Brett and I had discussed that it would be very useful. We're going to be having a draft in the working group that'll be close to completion or finals at that point, and it'd be good to bring the people together to discuss any outstanding issues.
Can I make a suggestion then?
Because related to this, I'm going to have to jump off this call in 5 minutes.
Okay, well then can I make a suggestion, Teresa?
Yes.
We put the night shift for the working groups as a slot, the evening for the working groups slot of the Tuesday, so that the General Assembly will be on Tuesday morning, Nations Council Tuesday afternoon, and then an open slot in the evening for working groups if they want to meet, or Monday.
Or even on Thursday morning, because, well, you may attend the board just to listen. Perhaps you have some urgent things to do. You better use your time to work within the working group.
Yeah. But Abby is right. These are only just scheduling. These are not mandated meetings. These are just giving a slot in the schedule if people want to meet.
My request would be that even though it is optional, if the working groups will meet, that they announce ahead of time. Because there were working groups that met in Santiago, but because it hadn't been announced ahead of time, not everyone knew where and when the meetings were taking place. So I just think all of this should be done up front.
Good point. Thank you. Anybody else want to comment on this?
Well, Caroline, I would say I would agree with that and say that I suppose there's also a facility. You know, some of these working groups are quite large and that we do have to, and I know Javier, it's up to everybody whether they want to have it, but we do have to reserve rooms should they decide to have it. So I don't know how long we can postpone that decision.
We can't postpone it any longer than this week. We're going to give up any rooms that are not specifically reserved for purposes after this week.
Okay.
We might have a little bit of flexibility, but I don't want anyone to be under the illusion that they can walk into the meeting in Los Angeles and declare that there's going to be a working group meeting and expect to find a room.
Well, then let's go through it. Working Group A. Will Working Group A, the subgroup or whatever is the current situation?
No, Working Group A has already completed its work.
All right.
It's expecting a drafting committee final report. That is different from Working Group A.
Do we need a slot for the drafting committee to meet?
No, this is a very small drafting committee.
The drafting group is a different thing, and incidentally, for the Nations Council, that the documents were posted yesterday. Okay, fine. Thank you very much. Working Group B, is it a Working Group B?
Dennis, I'm sort of on Working Group B, but Michael Pelage is really handling most. This is Victoria. Michael Pelage is really handling most of that, and I'm not sure if he contemplates having a meeting in Los Angeles. Although I know he will obviously be there, but it's a very, very large working group, so I'd have to check with him.
Could you check and come back to Andrew within 24 hours?
Absolutely.
And the two time slots we're talking about, the possible time slots, are the Tuesday evening and the Thursday morning.
Okay, I'll do that.
Monday evening.
And Monday evening, indeed. Yes, Javier, thank you. Is that Javier?
Yeah.
So Monday evening, Tuesday evening, and Thursday morning are the time slots that we're making available in the schedule.
Okay.
Working group C? No, not going to be. Working Group C?
Yeah, it would like to meet, and I suggest the Tuesday evening slot.
Okay, how many people?
I have no idea. I would like to circulate it to the Working Group B list and determine the interest and availability of who's going to be there.
Okay.
It's happy noted. We really need to circulate that to the working groups.
Sure. Any other working groups? Outreach, what is that working group?
Yeah, Working Group E. Actually, Working Group E is going to like a meeting. But actually, I'm not sure like the intention of the working group just like meeting. Like when it was first like suggested by the public. So maybe it's because like working groups are a little bit like close to people, like maybe, I mean, in general. So that's why the purpose of these working groups at this time, they wanted to get more attention from the people in general. That is it like the intention of the working groups like a meeting slot this time?
I missed the last sentence, YJ. Could you repeat that?
Yeah, I guess the intention of the time slot for working group like in the LA meeting for the first time. Formally, I guess that's because people who could not participate in the working group meetings.
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, right. And then people, they like the working group, like, to be in the session. procedural kind of speaking pension of the working group meeting. So, well, actually, I really admit, like, being the council meeting is also very important to, you know, ourselves. And I'm not sure, like, because this should be decided, like, by the general network instead of ours. I'm not sure.
Yes.
Because I guess, as far as I understand, like, the purpose of working group meeting in LA is because, like, people who could not participate in it, or, like, who could not follow up with all the working groups, like, I mean, we would like to give them the kind of choices or, like, good preferences.
That's right. So, can I summarize then? Working group A has done its work. Working group B might meet, and Victoria, you're going to clarify that?
Yes, absolutely.
Working group C is not going to meet. Working group D is going to meet, and probably Tuesday evening. And working group E may meet, and time slot to be chosen.
We'll meet,
and time slot to be chosen.
Just one question about time slot in general. Let's not assume that everything should be done by 5 p.m. each day. Most people are flying from, you know, very far in the world, and intensive channels are preferred to spending 2 weeks there. I remember in the old ISWC days where, for instance, in Singapore, Rainer Robinson was scheduling meetings from 7 in the morning until 1 in the morning the same day. Yeah? And it worked.
Yeah, I agree with you. So can I then recap where I think we are on the schedule and see if there's any disagreement? Monday morning, constituency meetings, and in addition, the CCTLD constituency will be meeting IANA. Monday afternoon, constituency meetings. Each constituency has to pick their slot, I guess. Monday evening, open forum working group. Tuesday morning, General Assembly of the DNSO. Tuesday afternoon, Names Council. All day Tuesday is the GAC, and tea time on Tuesday is the GAC open session. And Tuesday evening is a working group session, probably working group D. Wednesday is the open meeting with the board, and Thursday is the board meeting, the observed board meeting, and a slot for a working group.
I am missing something that is here.
Yes.
An experience from Santiago. It was a very bad idea, but not even have a working breakfast among the Names Council meetings to prepare the General Assembly. We are supposed to... So at least a breakfast or a dinner or whatever. Yes. No, nothing spectacular that has to be broadcasted. If not a breakfast, everybody is invited to have breakfast with us. Simply, we spend half an hour preparing, you know, how we present things in the General Assembly.
Amadeu?
Yes?
But if we will have two co-chairs, it is the next show.
Yeah, but also remember there are new Names Council members, and there are things that the co-chairs need to know from the working group chairs that normally are also part of the Names Council. They need to know about the constituencies and things like that, yeah? So if you're right, it would be better organized, but I still see the value of gathering together as informal as you want for at least 3 quarters.
I personally would think that's a great idea, so I would suggest Tuesday morning breakfast.
Nice.
I don't know. I'm not sure, because all of us will have a lot of meetings, informal meetings during the those days. Then,
yes.
I don't. But I think they are a lot of activities.
Then council is a powerful activity.
Exactly. Hi, second Amadeo.
This is Richard. Actually, also about a month or so ago, I proposed maybe having cocktails late at night on Monday, so we can get a chance at least to know each other before we sit down in a big room in front of an audience. So that's the same as the breakfast, but at least we can maybe loosen some of our conditions.
That's a much better idea than breakfast.
That way, I can sleep through breakfast.
Yes, YJ.
Yes,
YJ.
Yeah, actually, we provide the different kind of data meeting, so I guess we have also problem because, I mean, according to, like, your announcement before, you kind of, like, assigned the dinner time for a regular meeting. So probably that's what I'm concerned before is, like, that will bother the intention of regular meeting because
the right everyone.
Well, we can meet that late, meet after dinner, cook dinner, drinking meeting.
Hi, this is Teresa. I'm sorry, I'm going to have to jump off, so I give my proxy to Javier, and I like the idea of a dinner.
Okay, Teresa, thank you very much. Well, either a cocktail, tea time, or a dinner, and can we discuss that on the mailing list, because we don't actually need Andrew to provide the room for this.
But we really need to try to arrange something.
Yes, and that's why Jay's point, we don't want to have too great a clash with time we've set aside for working groups.
Indeed.
Okay, now, so do we have a schedule then? Or is anybody disagreeing?
Well, the only problem is that most opinions, even if it was a majority, but most opinions expressed in our constituency had the preference for Tuesday morning, but I think it's unfeasible to have constituency meetings on Tuesday morning. Is that correct?
I think that we could never have the General Assembly, which was the General Assembly.
That's my sense, yeah.
I think one of the things we have to discuss after Los Angeles is whether we need a bit more time, but that's another discussion.
Yeah.
And maybe the board meeting should go back again, but that's another discussion.
Look, just one thing. Each constituency rep should contact directly Andrew and tell him whether they are meeting on the Monday or the afternoon and how many people more or less. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's what I would interpret anyway. Andrew, are you happy with that? That
sounds good to me. I can work with that. Let me just recap so that my understanding is correct. As I understand it, the constituency groups will be meeting on Monday. We reserve rooms all day, so it doesn't really matter to me whether you meet in the morning or the afternoon. But if you do let me know, that we can make our room assignments a little more promptly. On Monday evening, there may be working group meetings. You're going to let me know, and we'll try to make sure there's a room available. Since we'll have all the constituency group rooms, I don't think it'll be a problem to just use one of those for any working group that wants to meet. On Tuesday, there will be a General Assembly meeting in the morning, Names Council in the afternoon. Those will all both take place in the large auditorium, which will already be wired for webcasting. Again, there will be a GAC open forum late in the afternoon, and I assume that if the Names Council hasn't finished the meeting, we can use a similar procedure to what we used last time, which is to adjourn the meeting for an hour or so to let Paul take the stage and then reconvene if you choose to do so. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Can I ask a fast question? Sorry to delay, but this is Kathy. Where did the all-day constituency meeting come from?
It doesn't have to be all day from my understanding.
No.
It's half day. It's just that people can meet either in the morning or in the afternoon.
If they want to meet for a whole week, there's nothing wrong about that.
I'm just thinking that there would be, while it would be better to have more time than your morning for a constituency meeting, we certainly could have used more time in Santiago. It seems like Monday is a logical place to put the working group. Have all the constituencies start at a certain time and maybe give them until 2 or 2:30 or 3.
Well,
and then have the working group start in the afternoon.
The only difficulty with that from a scheduling point of view is that there's an IANA CCPLD meeting in the morning from 9 to 12, so I assume the CCPLD folks will want to meet as a constituency in the afternoon.
Not only that, Kathy, many Americans are flying on Monday morning, and many Europeans also are flying from Europe and arriving by noon.
Okay, so basically the constituency meetings can't start in the morning.
Not all of them.
Not all of them. And in addition, if they are spread out over morning and afternoon, give people a chance to sit in on a variety of constituency meetings and inform themselves, which is very helpful. One thing, Andrew, could I ask that the arrangements for the Names Council be that the table space be sufficiently large so that each individual Names Council member has a place to sit?
Remember that, yeah.
And to be seen from the chair's point of view, because the way it was in Santiago was so crowded, it was really very, very difficult to work.
Well, my suggestion would be, again, if the Names Council could have a designated point person, I'll put that point person directly in touch with the hotel, and we can cut out the middle person and make whatever specific arrangements you need to make.
Okay.
All right. Elizabeth, could you take points on that?
Yes, I will do. Thank you.
I mean, we're planning it should be easier this time because we're going to have 19 directors. So we've got to have the stage set up to accommodate 19 directors.
19 is council members.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. Believe it or not, we've dealt with that item. Excellent.
Whoa.
Thank you all. Now, Andrew, do you want to take, we have a slot in our agenda for bylaw amendments and comments from you. I think this is probably not an adequately commented on the list. Are you willing to take questions? Yeah, of course. Anybody got a question for Andrew on the latest bylaw amendment?
So, I guess that has kind of like allowed no more than two people from the one region. So, well, anyway, is there any kind of like public website I can get info on the public DSO? Because it's really hard for me to get this kind of information on the DSO directory stuff.
Well, it's up to the PSO to put up on their website whatever they want to put up. You know, I received a note from either from you or from Phil not asking questions, and I simply forwarded along to the PSO folks. I mean, it's up to them to decide what to post on their website. Okay, Andrew, I think you take the point that we would like some of us would like some clarity there. Oh yes, I mean, we've encouraged them to get their names up and email addresses and all that sort of stuff. But you know, they're slower to organize right now. They have not yet had a meeting, and they've only just had all their members designated. So I expect that there will be some movement on that in the next week. It's just such a more difficult task than we have. We pressure them the same way we pressure you guys. Oh. Any other questions for Andrew? All right, I take silence as no questions. Andrew, thank you very much. Thank you very much. I'll talk to you soon. I'm going to hang up, but I'm going to continue to listen via webcast.
While we've got Andrew here, could we go to that quick issue of extending the deadline on Working Group C? Because Danik and Weinberg has helped in.
Absolutely, yes. Thank you for reminding me that. The Working Group C
what did you want, Andrea, on this conversation?
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't think I have any role to play on that whatsoever. That's entirely up to the Names Council to structure the timing and outcome of that debate.
Okay, then I misunderstood. I thought it was an ICANN deadline that we had.
Well, it's an ICANN. I mean, the ICANN board has made certain requests, but I think that the only request with relation to Working Group C's work is that it produce something after Santiago.
Right. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought they had set deadlines and that we had to get approval, so I'm sorry.
Yeah. Andrew, what about Working Group B? B is important.
What about
deadlines?
That's not the, I mean, the ICANN board, I don't think, has set any deadlines for any Working Group, so that's up to the Names Council to do the time.
Terrific, thank you.
Okay. Andrew, thank you for that clarification. Talk to you again. Okay, thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, the next item on the agenda is the business plan and the budget. I circulated a little straw man budget just as a basis for discussion. And I also flagged the issue of our making any financial commitments without having any money. And we need to, I think, discuss the budget, but we also need to make sure that if we're going to spend money with the webcast, that we have the money to pay for it. Anybody like to take up this discussion?
Nigel,
yes?
I have some slight concerns about making decisions, which in particularly decisions that involve money, when our status is a little bit unclear. I wrote to, I think it was Joe Sims on the board, several weeks ago asking for clarification on this, whether or not the Names Council is an unincorporated association or whether it is a specifically delegated committee of ICANN and therefore protected by the incorporation. The problem I see is this, is that if we're not sure, we don't actually have a definite confirmation, and if we don't have, as Dennis has pointed out on the list very recently, directors and officers insurance, every single one of us could become personally liable in some circumstances. And I'm a little bit worried about that, but I think that should be clarified and cleared up before we go any further about making decisions about money.
I put a specific, just to respond directly to that, Nigel, I put a specific question to Mike Roberts. He responded to my concerns about spending money to clarify that ICANN has no money to spend on a DNS or teleconference. If we want such a thing, we have to get the money and pay for it ourselves. We're financially autonomous.
We are legally and existently financially autonomous.
Is that true, Amadeo? I thought we were part of ICANN. So we were
part Oh, yeah. I mean, we don't have a separate legal existence, I mean.
But we are
in that sense, we are in existence as a separate legal full entity. We are part of ICANN. But we are supposed to run our own working budget and raise funds to cover our own activities, which I think is perfectly sound under this corporate structure.
So may I clarify what the answer to the question has been? In other words, the Names Council is an integral and fundamental part of the incorporated California Public Benefit Corporation known as ICANN.
That is my understanding.
And I have I've written an email to the board asking that very question some weeks ago, and I've yet to receive an answer.
Perhaps you would resend it because it's very important to all of us because of the liability issue.
Precisely my point.
Anybody else want to come in on this?
Well, the only thing I would say is that I too have been concerned about this, and so I have made arrangements with respect to the Names Council with the company that manufactures the Girl Scout cookies, and they're...
Can you explain that for the benefit of the South American?
Outside of the United States, the Girl Scouts of America sell cookies door-to-door to raise funds, so I thought... They might be able to work something like that in Los Angeles. I'm sorry. I thought they did it worldwide, and I apologize.
Only one question. There is that we can say that before, besides thinking about our own liability, trying to devise a structure, even if we don't implement that, but trying to devise a structure to raise funds to cover our expenses is really urgent.
Yes, that's the point I'm making.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dennis. I'm sorry, I do think that what we could do is we could set up a subcommittee within the board, and this does not have to be, within the council, this does not, at this point in time, have to be something that could go away with the election in the new Names Council, but there are people here who represent constituencies who could at least continue on. I'm a chartered accountant, I believe you call them in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be more than happy to work with anybody who wants to help to put together a budget for the Names Council, and at least when we have to identify what the need is, and then we develop the funding mechanisms based on the input that you get from, and you and Nigel's concerns as well, as to what the most effective way to do this is. But I think we could start on one side of the issue and start working on that right away.
Well, I think that's a very useful suggestion. Who wishes to volunteer to work with Ken on a subcommittee of the Names Council to draw up the budget and to begin discussing fundraising?
Well, I'll go ahead and at least start some things up. I think I have questions that I would be asking of people like Elizabeth with respect to time demands and stuff like that. I can also contact people at Berkman to find out about it. And I'll try to give a more detailed analysis as to how I view, after talking with Elizabeth, the various operational structure of the Names Council.
Ken also suggested you contact Teresa, who's not on board now, because she started working on that some time ago as well.
Oh, I didn't.
She had some figures about it.
All righty.
I think I'd like to volunteer Teresa, and I'll volunteer myself.
That'd be great.
Anybody else want to participate?
Oh, yeah. Is it Lizzie?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, I would like to.
Excellent. Thank you. I was hoping you would.
I'm going to ask, I'm going to make a motion, and I'll make a straw motion, Dennis, rather than a formal one at this point in time. I'd like to propose that we know that it's every one of the constituencies realizes that there's some sort of an obligation to fund the Names Council, and I would suggest that at this point in time, we request that each one of the constituencies have available within, let's say, 30 days after the meeting in Los Angeles, the sum of $5,000 that can be, we'll make it a interim donation if necessary, that, and we can establish some sort of an account. And that would require, as Nigel indicated, clarifications as to what kind of status, so that we can at least start to partially cover some of these costs. I think if we wait until we have a complete structure, we may be 6 months down the road just in terrible shape, and I don't know.
I agree with everything Ken's putting forward here. The principal issue is also one of liability. Any normal non-profit corporation which has offices, the first thing it does on formation is to obtain directors' and officers' liability insurance, and therefore will indemnify every single member of that non-profit organization against the costs involved if somebody decides to take the corporation to law over some decision it makes.
I think we've addressed that point. You're absolutely right. But I think, Ken, I'm sorry for cutting
you off. I'm trying to underline it. I'm sorry, Dennis.
I think you're about to go on to say, and in fact, Ken must be reading my mind, that we do need some money. I'm not putting words into your mouth. Let me say for myself, we do need some money, and I think Ken's suggestion is exactly what I was going to go on to: $5,000 each, and we need a commitment by Los Angeles.
That's right, and we need the money within 30 days after Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Because you have a fee here.
Yeah. No. But it doesn't stop us addressing the insurance question before.
Absolutely not.
You're absolutely right, Nigel. Absolutely right.
In fact, in a way, it hampers our ability to make decisions, because we can't make decisions, because any decision we make before that insurance is in place would not be covered by that insurance.
That's why...
You really stop me from taking decisions right away.
That's the reason I'm requesting donations rather than dues at this point in time.
Yeah.
Now, does anyone on the Names Council have any objection to Ken's proposal that we request a decision or an indication, at least a positive and strong indication, by Los Angeles for a donation of $5,000, slightly less than 5,000 euro, to the DNSO, to be paid within 30 days after Los Angeles to fund the commitments that we know that the NSO is going to have to make. And I'd like, just to be careful, I'd like to go through the next council members. Patricio?
I'm not sure there's a decision we can make now. I think we should take an email.
Fine, Javier, I think that's a very useful decision. Ken, would you email the suggestion?
Yes, I'll make the proposal to the Names Council, and what I'd like to do is I'd like to try to get some sort of a decision prior to our next meeting. So I don't want to wait until November to decide whether we should do this. You know, we need to have a consensus on this quickly.
And I think there's a general acceptance with the idea behind the proposal, and it's just a question of giving an opportunity to those people who've had to leave early or... are absent for whatever reason. And I think we can do this by circulation on the list.
This is Kathy. There is an objection. Before we call consensus, I understand Ken's proposal. I understand the urgent need for it. But I will put forward that $5,000 to the non-commercial groups and the non-commercial constituencies is a lot of money. We're having trouble just raising the funds to make sure our Names Council representatives can go to Los Angeles. So I just want to put on the record now that we may need some kind of sliding scale based on the ability of groups to pay.
Well, anyway,
let's not have a discussion about this, just noted, because I think the discussion should be on the list. That is a good point. Any other constituents you want to raise an objection?
Okay. So can you take that action?
I'll take that action, and also I unfortunately am flat out of time. We've gone on 2 hours here, and so I'm going to formally give my proxy to Amadeo for any votes that need be taken between now and when the meeting is called.
Well, they're probably not voting right now, but
I take
the proxy.
Actually, it's actually 1 minute to go, and I think we've lost quite a number of people.
But Dennis, Jonathan Weinberg has asked me, I've got to respond to him, confirming how the Ames Council feels about extending the deadline for 1 week.
Thank you.
Javier?
Javier?
Yes?
Hello, Javier? Sounds like we've lost him.
Oh.
Tim Weinberg, who's one of the co-chairs, was in agreement with, he did not see a problem in giving people a week in light of the documents that were just issued by ICAM, that it really, they may have no impact. The problem is we just don't, many people didn't factor in having to read and understand these documents and to know whether they do have an impact on position papers. So my feeling is if the co-chair is in agreement, I support the extension.
Well, let's just take a quick poll of the names, Council. Who is that, Caroline?
Kenna.
Okay, so Patricio. Have you an objection? Is Patricio there? Nigel, do you have any objection to a 7-day extension?
No, I vote aye.
John Anglin? Javier, an extension to the deadline on the working group C report to the name.
Oh, excuse me, I have to get off for a minute. I'd like to know the reason. I have not understood the reason for that change in the deadline. Yeah, behind it.
I can only speak as that might happen, and others that have spoken to me, is that, again, this may be a non-issue, but there are several documents to look at. And I don't think anyone wants to rely on someone else's opinion that they don't matter and that we just need time to review them to see if they change at all any positions that we have already drafted.
Are you afraid of the current deadline, please?
I'm sorry?
Which is the current deadline, please?
October 1st for preparing position papers that will get circulated and revised and finalized.
That's an internal date of the working group that has nothing to do with the Names Council. The only date that the Names Council has fixed is October 15th.
That's correct, yes.
October 15th is the final date. So
and that's, I'm saying, by obviously taking another week, that might push that deadline back.
Well, I strongly disagree with the fact that this initiative, the Names Council, as chair of Working Group C, I think that this issue should be solved by Working Group C. And if at the end we don't have time, then we should have an extension.
Yeah, but the question is reasonably put, I think. Does the Names Council have an objection to an extension for 7 days? And clearly, I think you do have it, yes?
Well, I think that is not the business of the Names Council.
I need to understand, though, so that in the future, who set the October 15th deadline?
The Names Council.
The Names Council.
So I'm afraid I think it is very much the business of the Names Council, because the Names Council set the deadline. But having you object, I think.
But my point is that discussion is taking place in Working Group C on this issue, and that we're trying to figure out, I have nothing against, I don't see the reason for delay, but I have nothing against delaying internal dates of the Working Group C, but I don't see why that should delay the deadline for the end of the work.
That's fine.
Hello?
I think it could have an impact, and that's why I thought it might be relevant to the Names Council. If you and Jonathan as chair felt that it created a problem, you asked for that 1 week.
Yeah, I think it's quite an appropriate question for a working group to ask the feeling of the Names Council on something it might propose to do, such as extend by a week, which could have a knock-on effect. If we all said no, they would know. If we said yes, it's not a problem, which we most of us seem to have done, then they'd also know that. I think that's all that's going on here. It's nothing major. They're just asking our opinion, if I'm not mistaken.
That's my understanding, Nigel.
Amadeo?
Amadeo, yes?
a former co-chair of the former existing working group A, we advised that the energy consultant take the same standard we took at that time. We encourage the working group C to abide to the previously set deadline as, you know, as far as it is practical. At the very moment that they see that it's absolutely impossible to meet, they come back and ask for an extension, but not before it is impractical.
Kathy, would that satisfy?
Yeah, and I'll go ahead and tell Jonathan that, for what it's worth, that there were some on the names council that felt not having a problem doing our internal deadline for a week, and that they don't need our permission to do it.
Yeah, well, that's certainly one interpretation of the discussion, yes. And the other is that if you do want to, well, we encourage you to stick to the October 15th deadline, but please notify us if you simply can't.
Okay.
All right. Okay, everybody, I'm exhausted. Lost a lot of people on the Neighbors Council. Can I suggest we wrap it up and we'll talk again on next Tuesday? Same time, same place.
Okay. Thank you very much.
One question. Now that you are here, I was surprised to discover that only the registrar's mailing list is publicly readable, and also the non-commercial, even though I got lost through all the links toward the different pages. I just would like to encourage all of you to tell the other citizens that perhaps it would be a good idea to open the mailing list, not just to be subscribed there, but to be archived in the web and be readable from the rest of the world.
I think that's an excellent point, Amadeo, and I think, Elizabeth, would you admit that?
Yes.
Unless the Neighbors Council has any objection, that we strongly urge all the constituencies to get their mailing lists archived and available on the web at the earliest possible opportunity.
Noted.
Yes. Good night and good morning, everybody.
Quick,
yes,
sorry. This is Victoria. Who is setting up the next conference call?
Oh, good point.
Because Don, I think Don Talar set it up and he's not here.
Ken, are you still here?
No. So if Don cannot, probably we'll do it, and if not, we will try to find somebody else.
Anybody
can follow up, yeah?
Hello, is somebody online?
Yes, Victoria Dennis is
fine. Dennis?
Yes, Elizabeth.
It is extremely important to have all the series of names council teleconferences. And I Don answered me for this one. I will need somebody else providing bridge for October 5th. And then we will need five another teleconferences.
Right.
And up to now, we had only three persons providing bridges, Teresa, Ken, and Don. So how to manage it?
Well, I think in the first instance, you should email those three people and ask them, would they help us again?
Okay, I think that to some extent, I mean, it is my understanding, my feeling, that to some extent, there is a cost issue.
I think it's very much smaller for the person who's setting up the bridge than for the people who are dialing in from the Far East.
And there was, sorry if I'm wrong, Danny, there was some kind of understanding that the Danish Council will be trying to refund the cost of the British teleconferences?
Absolutely, yes, but we cannot make that a formal commitment because there's no money.
Yeah, indeed, but we will try, I said. Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yes, absolutely. So, could you do that, Elizabeth? Because we need a bridge for Tuesday.
I will try.
Thank you.
I will keep you informed anyway.
Thank you very much indeed. And Amadeo, are you still going to require me to chair the next Neighbors Council meeting?
I think that was, I mean, I pushed for that, but I think that was general agreement. It's not good and easy.
Okay, I'm happy to do it.
Perhaps something, Dennis, perhaps for the electoral round when we lose having five, you should think about having some help.
Well, I have to think about the question. Can I chair a meeting where I'm also voting? It's an interesting question. So
we cannot have external chairs.
No.
So you are moderating. You are not chairing because we are just facilitating an electoral process.
True.
But someone has to moderate.
True. All right, then I'll think about that. I have to go and wait for another meeting. Thank you, everybody. Good night and good morning.
That's a good
morning.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
right there. Oh.
Dennis, I just need to take a rendezvous with you to discuss about scrutiny.
Yes, could we do that on Monday?
On Monday, okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
It's very important for you, Elizabeth, you do understand this.
Yeah, I am perfectly, I need to just figure out how to do it.
Okay.
Is Richard Lindsay there?
No,
I will be offline. I just wanted to convey something to the constituency from this meeting. Okay, bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye. Bye-bye, everybody. Thank you.